The Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network. Our next guest has been with us before. Ronnie St. Pucci will join us on fall and winter fashion. Starcom Radio Network, what will you be wearing for New Year's Eve, for next year? Fashion people are so far ahead of us. We'll find out how they do it. Ronnie St. Pucci is back on the show. Ronnie, how are you today?
Hi, Ed. How wonderful to connect again. How are you?
It is. It's good to hear your voice and your great insights into fashion. What I'm watching for always is not what people are wearing now. What are they going to wear? How difficult is that for a fashion designer to be ahead of where people are?
Ed, I really feel that the trend right now is to look chic and sporty, you know, at the same time. Maybe mixing simple and basics with uber luxury, you know, like go for high lows, such as mixing a fur jacket with blue denim jeans and white t-shirts. Comfort is key.
And comfort used to mean, well, you can't be comfortable if you're getting all dressed up. How do we cross over and make what really flatters people something that they're comfortable in as well? How do you do that?
I think, first of all, we need to have everybody look at their body type and determine what are their strengths, you know, and then go for silhouettes that enhance their best features and camouflage areas that they're not happy with. That I think that would be the first step.
Right, camouflage.
Looking at your wardrobe.
Right, camouflage. This is good because what we're always looking for is to look our best. And when you say silhouette, expand on that a little bit. That means the way your overall look is, right, from a distance, not zooming in real close, but seeing someone across the room and how they carry their outfit, right?
Exactly, exactly. I mean, the overall, you know, look, as soon as you see somebody, what do you see, you know? I mean, really, we need to focus on their best features, and that's what people, women especially, you know, have to be very mindful about. What is their, say, their eyes, you know, their best features? Let's really hone in on colors that will bring out those beautiful eyes.
And, you know, when you think about fashion trends, most Americans just think about American society, but your work is all throughout the world. Different cultures, Russia, the Middle East, Japan, the UK. Is that something that's extremely difficult to do, or is that something that naturally comes together when you design things that, as you say, classic and flattering? Is it difficult to touch what is going to go on in Leningrad and also in, say, you know, Rio de Janeiro? Can fashion reach those kinds of breadth and range of style and societies?
You know, we live in a world for the world, and when I'm designing, I'm actually really looking at European fashion. And I was in St. Petersburg, Russia, not too long ago. And my God, Ed, the women in Russia are so well-dressed. I mean, honestly, and I would be very frank, Americans, when we travel, we really are kind of sloppy, you know? So I think we really need to kind of change that and really see how we are dressing.
You know, some societies place a great deal of emphasis on fashion. And sometimes when you see, you know, something extraordinary or something that, quote-unquote, outrageous, it seems like it maybe separates people from other cultures. Really, fashion is a great uniter of cultures, right?
Truly. I mean, it is a uniter of cultures. But again, I think that we, you know, fashion is really, there are very simple, hard and fast rules for fashion. And if everybody would follow that, you know, for instance, let's say number one, you know, you start with what is your body type and then you go from there, and then what flatters you, what colors to wear, what tones, what fabrics. Those are the things that I think if we really were looking at the overall picture, it shouldn't be that difficult to put a wardrobe together that rocks, you know?
Right. And we used to have dominant designers that would set the tone. Are designers today now not as singular, but rather are specializing in areas where you get something that's special and then it catches on because of how remarkable it is, rather than people taking the cue, this is what I must have. It's rather, oh my God, that would look so great on me. There's a difference there.
There's a difference there, but I think couture, you know, and high-end fashion is kind of fading a little bit. I think we are really becoming more street smart, you know. We are wearing clothes that we see everywhere, and, you know, the internet, the social media is really bringing fashion together in such a way that it's, like, really an eye-opener. You know, just like I said, you know, we are looking at leather. Leather in the form of leggings, pants, culottes, you know. We're looking at velvet pants, but just one luxurious item that you need to wear, and then really kind of that will set the tone for your overall look.
Indeed. Does fashion still surprise you when you look at what else is out there, or does it make, I don't know, for the challenge to stand apart from it? You know what I mean? Like, if what you really want to do is make a statement, do you step beyond what is there, or do you step inside of what's there and kind of make what they're familiar with more special?
I think we make the familiar unfamiliar because we all want to be unique. There's always something really different that differentiates each person. We've talked about this before, and I think that fashion comes and goes. It's style that we are looking for, you know, elegance. I think that's what we need to look for, is how can we become that person who exudes style and elegance.
So when someone knows that their body type is looks good in certain things, what do you do when your body type doesn't seem to be in trend at that time? Are there ways for you to adapt what's happening to you, or must you go your own way and not be influenced by what the majority are doing?
I don't think you should be influenced by trends, because trends come and go. What remains is what suits your particular body type. And, you know, there are always accessories that will help, you know, set the tone for everything that you wear.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because accessories are terrific for people who go to the office every day, right? And they're always having to put out an outfit on a daily basis, where if you look at folks who are either celebrity or others, for them it's like an event-oriented fashion thing. How difficult is it for someone to 5 days a week use their closet to look well, and yet they don't have an unlimited budget? Can they, on a modest budget, have great choices every day?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's a misconception that we have to splurge on fashion. I bet you every woman has in her closet everything she needs. She just needs to know how to put it all together.
Do you generally need, if you're a working person who's not a fashion expert, do you generally need guidance for this, or can you trust your own eye?
You know, sometimes I think guidance is helpful. You know, it really, it just takes perhaps somebody to come in one day and look at your closet and say, well, maybe we should really retire this piece, you know, and let's focus on this here, because this is your strength, and let's focus on these colors. Why fit in with the crowd when you can stand out as an individual, Ed? know?
Indeed. Now, colors are extremely important because I remember doing shows 10, 20 years ago where the person would be an expert on colors. Are there colors that go with your eyes and your skin and this kind of thing, or can you have the colors that you want and adapt them to who you are?
I would say wearing clothes in certain colors can affect you differently. So there are different colors that I've listed in my book, Your Body, Your Style, that really, you know, let's say sad and depressed, you tend to gravitate towards dull colors or even black. So you've got just got to be mindful when you're choosing colors. You know, don't choose to match your mood, but go for a color that will enforce the mood you wish.
The one you want to convey, exactly. Our guest is Ronnie St. Pucci, and the website is stpucci.com. As we speak right now, do you always have drawings going on? Are you always sketching? Are you always starting ideas and then you kind of winnow them down to the ones that you like the best?
Yeah, the night I'm like, oh, whoa, you know, I just got a great idea. You sketch it. But yeah, it's fun.
So when you have a group of ideas, how does one win out as your favorite? How do you get to the one that you know is kind of magical and put some of the others aside? Is that a tough call?
No, it really is innate. You know, it comes with experience, Ed. I've done this for more than 30 years now. So it really is become second nature. You know when you hit a jackpot because you have that aha moment and you have... It's like being on a high, you know?
Right. And it kind of hits you, right? It's not something you calculate like a mathematical equation. It's something that once it comes into vision, you see it, and there it's pretty much undeniable, right?
Right. I mean, at least for trends, I set trends.
Right. So let's talk about something we talk about a lot when you visit with us because you've got such an extraordinary background in it, and that is weddings, brides, wedding gowns. We've said many times you've got this extraordinary accomplishment of having done Phoebe's wedding dress on Friends. Wedding gowns continue to evolve. Are they cyclical as well, or are we really moving further and further away from what used to be what Jackie Onassis, Jackie Kennedy said, that she wanted a very slim wedding dress when she married JFK, and she wound up looking like a Dixie cup, I think she said, with the really broad, flowing bottom. Right. So how tough is it for brides and for the designer you to satisfy the bride?
You know, fashion is a cycle. It really is. But every time it comes around in a slightly shape and form. And we saw the trend of nude wedding dresses, which we've also talked about, because I really think that a wedding is such a special occasion. And how you wear what you wear and the photographs that really stay with you, you know, I think those are things to be taken into account, you know, the audience you have and everything. So as far as I'm concerned, where wedding dresses are concerned, you know, I really set my own trends. Yes, slim silhouettes are great. Not everybody are heavy, you are, you know, so a lot of factors go into choosing a wedding gown.
How tough is that to say to a bride, you know, I know you love this, but it doesn't flatter you as much as maybe we both want it to? Is that a delicate conversation?
It is a very delicate subject, yes. You know, I mean, you've really got to be smart about saying stuff like that. But yes, I'm, for the most part, 99%, I'm able to...
Do you encounter...
through my eyes.
Right. Do you ever encounter resistance there that you have to kind of retreat a bit? Or are you able to hold your ground? Or how does that go if it's not readily accepted by the bride?
So ultimately, it is her day. It is her decision. You know, we can only hold their hands so much and say what we want to say. But yes, I have had brides, you know, want to do whatever they want to do.
Do they ever disagree with you and tell you that you're wrong and you have to kind of educate them a little bit?
Well, you know, in that case, I know I've had a couple of brides recently. They would have seen this picture in their mind for years, you know, so what can you do? You really can't do very much.
Right. And for them, it's very emotional. For you, it's a professional opinion. For them, it's kind of a wispy kind of dream place that they're in where anything's possible, and you're the one who really is grounded in the reality of it. A little bit tough, right?
It is a little tough, yeah. Sometimes I'm, like, ready to pull my hair. You know? but like I said, what I like, what I would like to see is my bride walking down the aisle in my dress, and you know, because it is Saint Pucci after all.
Right.
I want them to do the brand just themselves.
And when you're dealing with someone who's famous and someone who's quite a celebrity, and you've had countless numbers of those clients, does that make it more difficult? Do they feel, because of their celebrity status, that they're confident in their choices, or do they look to you for the guidance and are grateful to have it?
You know, that is really strange, because every celebrity that I have dressed has really paid attention and looked to me. I have never received any resistance from any celebrity in my 30-plus years.
Wow. I mean, that's a terrific accomplishment right there. Now, I know that you're writing, and you write about so many subjects. Does your writing reflect the experiences you've had as a designer?
Yes. Since last we spoke, my book, Your Body, Your Style, actually reached the number one bestseller status. And the Soulmate Checklist just came out. It just got released today. And I talk about how women are critical of themselves, and really every love starts with self-love. And yes, it came from my...
Are you there? I think we lost you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay, good, good. Yeah, you dropped out for just a split second. Good. Glad we didn't lose you. The creativity of fashion, do you see similarities between what you do and the artist who paints, the songwriter, the poet? Is there a genuine creativity in there, or is it more of a design, kind of the builder, kind of the architect? Who do you liken yourself more to, the creative artist or the person who's, building a structure for people? It's a physicality-driven type of gift.
I consider myself a creative artist, you know. I think that for all creative artists, you know, we are, you can call it channeled. You know, there are times that I look at my dresses and, you know, my collection, and I say, wow, who created that, you know? just like writing a book.
Right.
You don't know how these words came about, you know, but you know that you were the one writing it. So, yes, it is pretty, it's a very spiritual experience, Ed.
And is there a time of the year that you prefer the most for fashion, i.e. spring, summer, fall? Do you have a favorite which really showcases fashion to the ultimate?
No. I enjoy all seasons, because, you know, just like in ready-to-wear, now in winter we can layer clothes, right? So I love all seasons. In fact, living in Los Angeles, I kind of miss the four seasons. You know, we don't have that here. We don't have snow, we don't have, you know, so I kind of miss that.
And is winter great, because A, it's got the accessories you talked about before, but it's also got a great variance of fabric, right? Whether it's wool, whether it's leather. You did mention leather earlier as being prominent this year. Does winter offer a bigger palette in terms of fabric?
It does, because, you know, you see the jacquard, you know, coats that we are wearing now, the trench coats, even in jacquard. I mean, I was like, wow, this is great. And, you know, the colors like hunter green and very, very dark navy, these are great winter colors. So, but again, you know, we come back to what fabrics are appropriate for different body types. You know, heavier fabrics tend to add bulk. So we've got to be mindful where.
Oh,
you know,
right. Right. Now we're talking about the silhouette again, right? Now you're going to be heavily affecting that silhouette look. What are you expecting on New Year's Eve? When we watch all these big celebrations, can you give us a hint as to what we might see that might be unexpected to the public, but you know it's coming this year?
I am very drawn to the color hunter green and the off-white. You know, I think those are two really, really great colors. And of course, you know, to wear a classic Valentino red, I mean, that color never goes out of style.
You know, I love exploring all of this with you in advance of when people are going to dress up. Do you miss the fact that we don't dress up as much as we used to for things other than big gala events? It used to be people would travel, and because they were going to be on a plane that day, they would wear a great outfit because they're going to be in a new location, they're going to see new people. And you turn around today and you see people with cargo shorts and no socks and t-shirts headed there, and you know, we're missing some of our fashion self-expression.
Yeah, it's so sad to see that. You know, I remember in 1985 when I started my my business, and these buyers would come in their Chanel suits and, you know, gloves and pillbox hats, and I mean, it was just so elegant and classy. We don't see that ever anymore,
right?
Except for galas, yes.
Now we do have a new first lady who's going to be quite a fashion plate. She's beautiful, we know that, and she is modeled for many, many years. Jackie Kennedy had her designer, Ole Cassini, and usually there is a favorite designer of a first lady. What do you make of Melania Trump from what you've seen of what she wears, how she carries herself? What's your take on her?
I think she is the epitome of elegance, really. And she is a very elegant woman herself, you know, and I don't see her wearing anything that would be controversial. So she really would kind of, it reminds me of the way Jackie O would, Onassis would carry herself, you know, Jackie Kennedy.
Right.
So I think that we are bringing fashion, elegant fashion, back into the White House now.
Indeed. And we'd also have a first daughter in Ivanka who is an amazing dresser also. I mean, she's stunning when you see her.
She's absolutely stunning. And she's, I know she probably will play a much bigger role than they claim she will, you know. And she is definitely very elegant.
Indeed. Now,
it's nice. It's really wonderful to see fashion come back, you know. Like, we're all going to be looking at these, the First Lady and Ivanka Trump, you know, and now we have a role model, right?
I think so. That was going to be my next question. Do you think we're headed for a little bit of a renaissance in the focus on elegance and class and the kinds of things that have, you know, made people look beautiful for years, but a return to it now because of Melania?
And romance. And let's not forget that, you know, when all this is in place, I mean, the mood changes. I think the country, the women here, there will be a shift, a very subtle shift, but there will be a shift.
Indeed. Well, I'll tell you, I don't know where the time goes when you're on the show. It goes by so quickly. I really enjoy visiting with you. People can go to stpucci.com, and will your book now, are you going to be touring in support of the book?
I am, actually. I'm speaking in support of the group, especially not just your body, your style, but also the Soulmate Checklist.
Terrific. Well,
both of them.
I love having you on. Thank you for the visit today, and we look forward to having you back real soon. Where are you going to be next? Where are you traveling to?
I'm going to take a little vacation. I'm actually, well, before I do that, I'm going to be at Jack Canfield's house for 2 days in Santa Barbara. But then I'm taking a 10-day vacation to Sedona, Arizona.
Oh, beautiful.
And, yes.
Wow. You got an extra, you got an extra seat? You got an extra seat on that plane? I'll jump on there with you. What a beautiful time you'll have when you're there. Do enjoy.
Yes.
Give Jack Canfield our best. We've had him on the show many, many years ago. He's a terrific writer and a great inspiration to other writers. And you, thank you so much for the time today. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you for having me.
You bet, Ronnie. Have a great day. Ronnie St. Pucci on the Ed Till Show, Starcom Radio Network.